drops keep falling on my head. And just like the guy whose feet are too big for his bed, nothing seems to fit. Those raindrops are falling on my head, they keep falling. So I just did me some talking to the sun.
Welcome to Today on Broadway for Friday, October 7th, 2016. I'm Broadway World's Matt Tamanini.
And I am Broadway Stars James Marino. Matt, are you safe?
So far, so good. It's starting to come down out there a little bit, but so far it's just, you know, moderate winds and some rain, but nothing too bad so far. So I'm knocking on wood to hope that Central Florida isn't as badly hit as some other places are. And like I said on yesterday's show, anybody in Florida, please stay safe, and all the way up through the coast, up into the Carolinas and Virginia, stay safe as well. No one needs to try to be a tough guy and avoid evacuation notices like some people down here in Florida did.
In the eye of the hurricane is Matt Tamanini. All right.
You just drop a Hamilton reference on me?
Oh, man, you caught that. All right.
I did. Real quick, James, we're going to have our normal episode here, but then as a nice little special Friday treat, we're going to have an interview with actor and singer, songwriter and arranger Kyle Riabko at the end of this episode. He is known for doing, it's had two different names, but most recently it was Close to You, Burt Bacharach reimagined over in the West End. He's got an album coming out of the songs from the show. He's going to be doing a couple performances at Joe's Pub in a couple weeks. So we're going to talk to him here at the end of the show. So I want to make sure people know to listen all the way through, not just when we say goodbye at the last story.
Oh, Matt, Kyle was in Spring Awakening and Hair, but which Spring Awakening do you know? Was he in the most recent? Was it Def West one or the original?
It would have been the original one because he was doing Close to You at the time of the most recent revival.
All right. Let's hit our first story of the evening. New Stephen Schwartz. Say that four times fast. New Stephen Schwartz musical courting Broadway and Hugh Jackman.
Yeah, James, I was all ready to go and lead off the show with a story about Daniel Radcliffe. That story is going to come here in just a second. But only a few people can bump Harry Potter out of the top spot, and Wolverine is one of them. As I was prepping to write this script, Michael Riedel wrote in his New York Post. It's always Riedel. He wrote in his New York Post column that Schickinator. I listened to like 8 YouTube videos to try to make sure I got that right. But Schickinator, the new musical from Broadway's favorite composer without a Tony, Stephen Schwartz, has started to make some waves over in Vienna and is already looking for a big-time star to lead an eventual transfer. The show is about Emanuel Schickinator, who is an 18th-century German actor, writer, and theater owner. Most famously, he wrote the original libretto to Mozart's Magic Flute and originated the role of Papageno in that. I'm not a Magic Flute aficionado, so tell me if that's a big role or not. Schickinator was a noted philanderer who died penniless at the age of 61, and director Trevor Nunn would like to reunite with his National Theater curly, Hugh Jackman, for a London or New York production with Jackman in the title role. Riedel reports that Jackman is in fact headed to Austria to see the show in person to start to gauge his interest. Riedel sources also say that the show is, quote, "It's Kiss Me Kate meets Amadeus with a score as lush and melodic as Stephen's The Baker's Wife." Sounds good to me. Female leads Melicia Jovanovic and Katie Hall are terrific, and they are expected to stay with the show wherever it ends up transferring. However, the set from the Tony Award winner Anthony Ward is apparently both crazy impressive and crazy expensive, so it would need a big star like Jackman above the title to justify the necessarily high ticket costs. And given Schwartz's success with Wicked, I have a feeling he'll find some producers willing to dole out that money. Riedel reports that reps for Cameron McIntosh and the Mervishes from Toronto have already taken trips to Vienna, so it's not a doubt that Broadway producers will be following as well. James, we've been teased with Schwartz and Jackman collaborations before with that Houdini musical that never happened. Yes. Houdini, yeah. So I will believe it when I see it, but this sounds like a perfect fit.
Yeah, Houdini disappeared right in front of our eyes. I mean, this sounds really interesting. I think that the Broadway version should maybe undergo a name change.
Yes. Yes.
You know, just talking about that reminds me of that meme that went around last year. Tell somebody you love them today because life is short, but shout it at them in German because life is also terrifying and confusing. So
that's really funny. I didn't hear that one.
Oh, you've never seen that? Oh, no. We'll have to add that to the show notes. It was this little meme that went around last year. It's hysterical. All right. So Danny Boy Radcliffe to return to the London stage. Why do I care about this?
James, don't ever badmouth Harry Potter in any way, shape, or form. The Potter files or whatever they're called are gonna get on you. I do apologize to all the Harry Potter diehards for bumping him out of the top story, but hopefully his return to the stage will make it worthwhile. Because yesterday it was announced that Daniel Radcliffe would be returning to the London stage in a 50th anniversary production of Sir Tom Stoppard's absurdist classic, Rosencrantz and Guildenstern Are Dead, for the Old Vic. The Swiss Army Man will play Rosencrantz, and British stage and screen actor Joshua Maguire will play Guildenstern, beginning performances on 25 February and running through 29 April of next year. Though Radcliffe was last seen in New York this past summer in You Say Privacy, I Say Privacy, he was last on a London stage in 2013 in The Cripple of Inishmon, which eventually transferred to Broadway. James, whether Radcliffe's schedule allows or not, whether the Old Vic is interested or not, I'm pretty sure that coming off a trip from Vienna, plenty of American producers are going to be flying to the Old Vic to try to get Radcliffe and this production to transfer to New York as well.
That's why you're telling me about it. Oh, it's definitely going to transfer. Rosencrantz and Guildenstern Are Dead. It's hysterical, the show. And with Daniel Radcliffe, it's surely a limited run hit. Absolutely. And they'll, as we said before, they'll have to build the theater because there's no theaters available. So.
Well, and I will say, I mentioned the movie Swiss Army Man a few minutes ago, and that is the perfect example that Radcliffe could do this show beautifully. They're not the same types of humor, but Swiss Army Man is such a bizarre, dark, weird comedy that it shows you that he has the deep, absurdist chops to pull off this Stoppard show. So I think he's going to be fantastic. And maybe this is one that finally gets him a Tony nomination because he's been long overdue for one.
Oh, yeah, that's very true. We'll have to see how that goes with such a heavy play schedule, including all those front page people this year. Holiday Inn opens on Broadway, and the reviews are starting to trickle in.
Yeah, we are recording right now, and we're just a little bit after 8 o'clock, so the reviews are just coming in, so we really haven't had a chance to look at them. So I'm just going to go through some of the bigger name ones, James, so we can see what, you know, the general consensus is. Jeremy Gerard at Deadline writes, Pinkham, a Tony nominee for A Gentleman's Guide to Love and Murder, is no crooner. Indeed, he's the Ethel Merman in the mix, singing like the brass section and selling every word to the balcony. Corbin Blue of the High School Musical franchise is the discovery, tapping up a storm that recalls a young Sammy Davis Jr. Technical brilliance and cockiness and good time in one barely containable package. That sounds like a pretty good review for Corbin Blue. Robert Kahn of NBC New York writes, Holiday Inn is a lovely excuse to get lost in the Berlin chestnuts, particularly as they've been reimagined by choreographer Dennis Jones. The new storyline sometimes tries too hard to be charming and old-fashioned, but overall, Holiday Inn is a satisfying autumn offering. Jesse Green from Vulture writes, among the 22 songs, many more relate to the wisp of a love triangle plot than the supposed theme, thus emphasizing the buildup instead of the payoff. And that buildup is tedious, as the former song and dance man Jim Hardy and his hoofer ex-partner Ted Hanover compete for the affections of Lila Dixon, a leggy bimbo, and then Linda Madison, a homey good girl. Instead, the lumpy structure makes you wait until nearly the end of the first act for the in numbers to start, and thus for the show to get moving. At that point, a terrific production number of Shaking the Blues Away, led by Megan Lawrence as a butch fix-it man, don't ask, that's Jesse Green's words, briefly makes you forget how unsatisfying the show has been so far. So it seems like, James, as has pretty much been the, you know, par for the course this calendar year in terms of Broadway reviews, they're mixed, some really positive, some not so much, but overall, it sounds like it's a really enjoyable, good time on Broadway.
It does. I'm going to throw in my buddy Matthew Murray from Talking Broadway. He said, yeah. he writes that it's tricky for Broadway musicals to be innovative, tough when the show is a comedy, and virtually impossible when it's constituted exclusively of pre-existing songs. That's a good note. So congratulations are due to the Roundabout Theater Company's production of Holiday Inn, which just opened at Studio 54. Despite doing absolutely nothing new, it's managed to push contemporary theatrical escapism to dizzying unheard-of heights. So wow. Matthew liked it. So
very cool.
Yeah, as more of this stuff comes in, you know, if we have one that's dramatically outside the realm of what we've mentioned, we'll talk about it on Monday's show.
Yep, absolutely.
All right. Next up, we have theater movie news.
Yeah, since we led the show off with stories about two A-list movie stars potentially coming back to the stage, I figured we'd stick in the world of Hollywood. First, in an interview with the British magazine The New Music Experience, Green Day frontman Billy Joe Armstrong let slip that HBO has recently greenlit an adaptation of the band's Broadway musical American Idiot, and that he would be returning to the role of St. Jimmy, which he occasionally temporarily played on Broadway and on tour. Armstrong said, "We've got a green light from HBO, and the script is currently going through a couple of rewrites here and there, so I'm not sure when exactly we're going to start shooting, but it's definitely all systems go at the moment." Also yesterday, Variety exclusively reported that Emily Mortimer and Ben Whishaw would be taking on the roles of Jane and Michael Banks in the upcoming film Mary Poppins Returns. Whishaw was seen on Broadway last season as John Proctor in The Crucible, and Mortimer played news producer and Jeff Daniels antagonizer Mackenzie McHale on HBO's The Newsroom. Obviously, everyone listening to this podcast knows that Jane and Michael Banks are the children characters in the original 1964 movie of Mary Poppins. This sequel takes place 25 years later, and as you also know, stars Emily Blunt, Lin-Manuel Miranda, and Meryl Streep. Rob Marshall will direct, and Mark Shaiman and Scott Whitman will be writing all new music. The film is currently slated to open on Christmas Day 2018. On the heels of Variety's Mary Poppins exclusive, the Holiday Report... On the heels of Variety's Mary Poppins exclusive, The Hollywood Reporter had a Disney sequel exclusive of their own when they reported that the man who directed the Hairspray, Rock of Ages, and Step Up films, and most importantly, choreographed the Buffy the Vampire Slayer musical episode Once More with Feeling, Adam Shankman, has been tapped to helm the sequel to Enchanted. Original star Amy Adams is expected to return as Giselle, a cartoon princess who has swept away into the real world of New York before she married Prince Charming, back in pen and ink and color and stuff. The original film featured songs by Alan Menken and was a huge surprise hit for Disney. The sequel will reportedly take place 10 years after the first movie, with, quote, Giselle finding herself questioning her happily ever after and accidentally triggering events that makes everyone's life turn upside down in both the real world and in the animated kingdom of Andalasia. No word yet if original co-stars James Marsden, Patrick Dempsey, Idina Menzel, or Susan Sarandon will appear in the sequel. Filming is believed to begin next summer.
That Enchanted thing came out of nowhere, and my wife has watched it like 40,000 times. She loves that movie.
Yeah, it's one that just kind of, it was really the thing that put Amy Adams on the map. Obviously, long before Frozen, so Idina Menzel was not exactly a huge star at that point. Patrick Dempsey was just starting his run on Grey's Anatomy, so it really was just this little kind of throwaway thing for Disney. Obviously, any big-budget motion picture is not a throwaway, but it wasn't expected to be this huge hit with these huge rollouts that we see for Disney live-action films now. But it really was a success that a lot of people didn't expect. It made over, you know, a third of $1 billion at the box office, so this is a big deal for this sequel to finally come in.
All right, what's up in the show and casting news?
Well, first off, the four-time Tony-winning musical An American in Paris will end its original Broadway run after 623 performances on Sunday, just before its national tour launches a week from today. The musical, which features the timeless music of George and Ira Gershwin in a book by Craig Lucas, won Tonys in 2015 for lighting, scenic design, orchestration, and Christopher Wheeldon's choreography. Following An American in Paris at the Palace Theater will be the return of the magic show The Illusionists, which will run through the first of next year. Then, the Palace Theater is expected to undergo renovations. In another story, James, you remember a week or so ago when we said that there would be no one better to play a grown-up, down-on-her-luck Cindy Lou Who than Tony-nominated Jennifer Samard?
Yeah.
Well, forget it, because unfortunately, the world premiere of Matthew Lombardo's Who's Holiday has been postponed due to, quote, a sudden rights issue that needs to be clarified before continuing. So that sucks. The play is billed as a Christmas comedy in couplets, a la My Fraternity Brother Dr. Seuss, and was scheduled to play New World stages for 9 weeks before Samard went on to play Ernestina Money in Hello Dolly on Broadway. James, this is really too bad. I hope they get the right stuff figured out, because I think that this show, even if it's just barely any good, if it's just barely better than average, it'll be a huge hit for theater companies around the country.
Yeah, rights issues get really sticky, and I guess it's the Seuss estate that, you know, I'm just supposing here, I don't know that this, but it seems like the Seuss estate must have stepped in and said, you're going to have to do something here to get these references to Cindy Lou Who. So we'll have to see what happens. I hope that it gets worked out, because I really want to see Jennifer Samard in this.
Yeah, it's obviously going to, you know, if it doesn't happen this holiday season, I don't think this is going to be a show to run during the summer. It'll probably have to be a holiday show. So who knows what's going on with Hello Dolly at that point. But, you know, hopefully Jen is able to do this show whenever the rights issues get figured out.
All right. Mary Beth Pale is set to return to Anastasia's Broadway run.
Yeah, casting news has been slowly trickling out for the original Broadway production of the Aarons and Flaherty musical Anastasia. So far, we know that Christy Altemare, Derek Klena, John Bolton, and Caroline O'Connor will reprise their roles from the Hartford Stage World premiere, and that Tony nominee Ramin Karimloo will join the production as well. Well, yesterday we learned that another original cast member will be joining the show, as it was announced that Grams herself will be returning to the role of the Dowager Empress. Directed by Darko Trejnik and featuring a book by Terrence McNally, the show will open on Broadway on April 27th of next year. In the meantime, Pale will begin performances in the limited-run Broadway revival of Les Liaisons d'Anjou tomorrow, opposite Janet McTeer and Liev Schreiber. Finally, for this news section, a few months ago, we told you about this immersive production of Sweeney Todd that was going to be transferring from a legit London pie shop to New York beginning on Valentine's Day of 2017. The Barrow Street Theater will be recreating Harrington's Pie and Mash Shop, complete with actual pie and mash, courtesy of former White House executive pastry chef Bill Yosis, who it was announced the other day will be serving as the production's official pie maker throughout the New York run. Wow, he goes from serving Presidents George W. Bush and Barack Obama to state dinners to recreating cannibalistic meat pies for experimental theater fans. Ah, the glamorous life of a world-renowned pastry chef. No joke, though, President Obama nicknamed him the Crust Master, which sounds like the worst villain from the original Ghostbusters movie.
Well, you know how in Waitress they are piping in that apple pie smell?
Yes.
So I wonder if they're going to do something similar here.
Well, they're actually serving. I mean, you can actually order pie stuff. So, I mean, there's going to be pies there at your table. You will be eating, I'm hoping, not legitimate human-made pies. I mean, made by humans, not made of humans. Mm. So they're going to be eating these pies made by Bill Yosis, former White House pastry chef, down at the Barrow Street Theater, which, as I've said before, I love any theater that pushes boundaries, but this seems like a lateral move at best for Bill.
What's up in the recommendations?
All right, two things. If you do not stay up late, like me, make sure to set your DVR, because Lin-Manuel Miranda will be hosting Saturday Night Live tomorrow night at 11:35 p.m. Eastern Time on NBC. Check your local listings. He will be joined by musical guests 21 Pilots, which, believe it or not, is my favorite band whose music I know nothing about. The reason being, the band members met as students at The Ohio State University, and their band name, I kid you not, comes from Arthur Miller's All My Sons. If you've seen the show, you know where the 21 Pilots reference comes from. So no matter what type of sketches they end up doing, this will be a very theatrically centered SNL, which is always a good thing. Also, in the show notes at BroadwayRadio.com, we'll throw in the video. The first highlight B-roll footage from the Fun Home National Tour has been released, starring former Miss America, current Equity president Kate Schindel in the role of Allison. It's really cool. We've talked about how this show has kind of morphed from how it was at the Public and at Proscenium stage to being in the round, so to speak, at theater at a Circle in the Square. Now it's on the road. It's fun to see how this show has progressed. And I still, even though I still have never seen the show, I still get goosebumps and chills at nearly every song from the show, especially Ring of Keys. So definitely check that out. It's a lot of fun to see this show, you know, kind of changing and evolving with new cast, because that original cast, at least all the principals, especially the adults, really were with the show forever. So it's cool to see new super talented actors take on these roles.
All right. So before we get out of here, remind the listeners that we're going to have an interview with Kyle Riabko at the end here, so don't tune out quite so quickly. And Matt, why don't you get us out of here?
All right. Thanks for listening to Today on Broadway. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter at Broadway Radio, and you can find me on Twitter at BWWMatt, and subscribe to Something Like It Pop on iTunes, Stitcher, and Google Play.
And my name is James Marino from BroadwayRadio.com and BroadwayStars.com. Thanks for spending your week with us, and we will be on This Week on Broadway. We're talking to Richard Greenberg, and we'll be back on Monday to bring you the news of the weekend.
I just like me, belong to be close to you. On the day that you were born, the angels got together and decided to create a dream come true. So they sprinkled moon dust in your hair of gold.
This evening, a special guest, Kyle Riabko, is with us. Broadway fans know Kyle from Spring Awakening and Hair. And over at New York Theater Workshop, just did the Bacharach Reimagined. So, Kyle, thanks for joining us. You're out in California right now.
I'm in California, yeah. Thanks for having me.
Oh, thanks for coming on and talking with us. You have a show coming up at Joe's Pub. Why don't you tell us a little bit about what you're doing?
Yeah, I have two shows. It's October 17th and 18th on Tuesday night, and it's a solo show. What I'm doing is I'm sort of taking the Bacharach show that we did, as you said, at New York Theatre Workshop and in London on the West End, and I'm sort of stripping it back to where it began, which is just me and a guitar. So I'll play a bunch of the tunes from that show and tell some stories about my experiences with Bert and about his career, and also we are celebrating the release of this album for that show.
So Kyle, my question is, why Bert Bacharach? Why this music? What about his songs made you say, yep, I want to write a show and reimagine these tunes that everybody knows into something new?
Well, you know what happened was I met Bert about 6 years ago, so I was sort of, this is all luck. I was asked to sing in a recording session for some new demos that he was making. And so I thought I was sort of just going in and out, and I'd be in and out of his life within a couple hours. And it ended up being a very life-changing experience. And so I'd always love Bacharach's music, but it was sort of way in the back of my mind, no pun intended. And because I grew up in the world of blues and rock, listening to like Clapton and Hendrix and stuff like that. So I wouldn't have ever thought that I'd be sitting with Bacharach's music, but because I had the opportunity to meet him, and that recording session was sort of magical. It was just mind blowing. The fact that I was sitting face to face with this legend at the piano, it all just sort of hit me. I thought to myself, I can't let this go. I have to try to pay more tribute to this man. And so we struck up a friendship, and it started there. And then, you know, as you start to study what he's done in a deeper sense, you realize that he's really one of the most important musicians in pop music history. And, you know, I love the history of music so much. It's just great to celebrate that.
So this is this release on Ghostlight in connection with the concert down at the Public. This is a really fun thing. Is this going to be very similar to what we saw at the Meunier Chocolate Factory? You said it's scaled back, of course, but New York Theater Workshop and Meunier are, you know, scaled back as it is, and it's just you and the guitar up there on stage. I want to comment, even though this is radio, I want to comment on your cover here. You have this beautiful woman wrapped around you on the cover, and you're holding a guitar. Can you really play like that?
I can. I promise you. It's a skill learned over many years of practice. But yeah, we had a scene in the show where we did that.
Oh, that's great. That's great.
Yeah.
How long did you do it at Meunier?
We did it at the Meunier for about 3 months, and then we moved to the West End, where we played for about half a year. Yeah.
Oh, at Criterion?
Yeah, we were in Piccadilly Circus at Criterion Theater. Yeah, it was a really, really great experience.
And
of course, the coolest thing about all of these versions of the show was that Bert was with us for the opening nights. And actually, at the Criterion opening, Bert was sitting next to Tom Jones. And if you ever want to put yourself in a horrifying position, sing What's New Pussycat to Tom Jones. Yeah, it's about the most nerve-wracking thing you could ever imagine.
Did you take the cast from New York Theatre Workshop to London?
We took a couple of them and recast some people over there. We weren't able to take the entire cast, but yeah, it had the you know the same energy that it did in New York, just a few different members.
Well, you mentioned like that energy. Bert, you know, it seems like such a natural combination to take a bunch of Bert Bacharach's pop music and bring it to the theater, because he has quite a bit of songs that we hear in the theater already, whether it's, you know, Promises, Promises, or all these other things.
That's right.
How did what you did with this, and I think it had a different name at New York Theater Workshop than it did in London, but in whichever incarnation of the show, how is what you did different than what either Bert did or what maybe some of the Broadway productions that include some of his music did as well?
Well, really what I did was I sort of took the core of the song, the melody and the lyrics, obviously, and the core of all of his songs, and scaled them way back and gave them a different dressing. So, you know, we're so used to hearing Bert songs with a sweeping orchestra with strings and horns and full brass section and everything. And I thought, well, what would it sound like if this were to be played just a guy and a guitar? Like, you know, imagine Paul Simon playing Bacharach or something like that. And which is the kind of music that I grew up with. And so it was really, I was very true to the melodic and lyrical content of the songs. It was just sort of the arrangements around it that were different. And then also, because he has so many incredible, huge hits that you can't leave out of the show, we tended to sort of smash certain songs together. So there were some unique sort of arrangements in that way. But it was just sort of like it's a celebration of this music with more guitars than fugal horns, really.
So so tell us. What is, we're going to play about 30 seconds or so, 30 seconds to a minute of a cut from your album. What is the best one that we can pick that can let our listeners hear what they would hear if they came down to the Public?
Well, you know, that's a good question. You could play Close to You, which is sort of the title track on the recording. Yeah, Close to You would be a good one, I think.
Well, great. Well, Kyle, thank you so much for coming on down and talking with us. We know that your show's coming up at the Public on October 17th and 18th, just about a week or so away.
A little bit
more than that. So get on a plane, come on to New York, miss the storm, and we'll see you when you get here.
You got it. Oh, man, I really appreciate it, and thanks for having me on, you guys.
Thank you. Kyle Riabko is a Broadway performer, singer, songwriter. We'll be at the Public Theater at Joe's Pub on October 17th and 18th, and at the Wallace in Los Angeles on November 4th and 5th for those on the West Coast who are listening and want to check it out. We'll have more information and contact and a way to reach all those venues and a link to some of Kyle's things there at BroadwayRadio.com. Sprinkled moon dust in your hair, a golden starlight in your eyes, blue.
That is why all the boys in town follow you all around. Just like me, they long to be close to you.
You were born, the angels got together and decided to create.